When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I'm going to be a little uncharacteristically candid today, a little bit more candid than usual, because I want to talk about candor today, because it's something I've been thinking about a lot, given the fact, and this is the part where I get a little candid, that I had a bit of a crap weekend. And without going into too much candor about it, it was one of those kinds of, one of those weekends, one of those like past 5 days where some things happen that get me thinking really hard about what I do and why I do it. And now when I say what I do, I'm talking about all of my entertainment work. The comics that I do, the audience I'm trying to reach, the teaching work I do, as well as the podcasting thing. So I think that this is going to be, my goal always with Thunder Punch Daily is to try to find the moments in life that happened to me that I can turn around and make useful to you guys. But I always have one eye on keeping a certain number of my cards close to the vest for a variety of reasons. I tend to agree most of the time with certain entertainers and creators who suggest that your audience is there to your audience comes to you for, you know, not necessarily distraction, but relief from problems. They're not coming to you for more problems. They don't want to come to you to listen to you gripe. I tend to agree with that notion for the most part. And I qualified that statement because I'm going to go into it a little bit more deeply in a moment. It's like something Mark said once on an old art and story. It's like when he was working a day job, the last thing he wanted to do when he turned on the television after working a day job that he hated was watch more people experience problems in life. He problems like his. He wants a release from that. He wants escapism. But there's also an opportunity that's presented with the internet, with releasing content online. Being an independent creator, there's an opportunity there to forge a deeper connection with your audience, be more real to them. Because it occurs to me that there is a possibility that in trying to constantly watch what you say and do, you can also come off as a bit of a persona, a not real person. And what's the line? How do you figure out how not to be a cardboard cutout of yourself? And to be come across as a real, true human being without revealing too many of those personal cards in the deck. And are there pros and cons to being more candid with an audience? And I wrote down a few that I want to discuss with you guys today. But before I get to that, I wanted to talk about just for a moment, or make reference to a New York Times article that I read as I was dwelling on all this. One of the things that precipitated this kind of like navel gazing that I was doing recently. And it was on the 1st of August on the New York Times site, and I'll put a link in the show notes. And the article, or editorial rather, is called "I Tweet, Therefore I Am." And this author of this article, she's also a book author, if I'm not mistaken, she starts chronicling an experience that she had where she was using Twitter to promote herself, but she was also using it to sort of live stream the way a lot of people do, the way I have in the past from time to time. And she caught herself in this moment where she was on all the time. She was always on the lookout for something that was worth sharing with her audience. And even when she was just sitting down with her daughter and listening to some music, she felt that, oh, this is tweetable. I have to document this for everybody. And she brought up an interesting question. Am I letting Twitter shape my own persona? Am I becoming sort of this artificial constructed person? This well, we talked about this in a recent art and story with Dan Nowak. We were talking about the online presence. You talk about your message, crafting and cultivating your message of your site. Can you inadvertently wind up doing that to yourself and thereby become sort of this artificial person in an attempt to share useful or interesting information with everybody? What happens to intimacy is a question that she brings up in the article, which brings me back to this notion of candor. How intimate can you become with your audience through your work, whatever kind of work it is? Now, when it comes to my teaching, I pride myself on the fact that no matter how bad a day I'm having, you know, I could have had a terrible fight with my wife, I could be facing foreclosure on my home, but the moment I walk into that classroom, those kids do not care about those problems. And it is my responsibility as the teacher to walk in and assume my teaching persona. That is a time when I think is absolutely appropriate. Historically, I have applied that to myself in the podcast, in my blog posts, in my Twitter feed. I don't assume anybody gives a damn about my problems. If I have an issue with something that is more general and universal, then I think it's worth bringing up. Like if it's my problems with like the system that's in place with comics conventions, for instance, that's something I've railed against in the past. It's not an entirely personal thing. I'm not going to come on here and say, well, you know, I don't get along with my sister, you know, is that something that's worth sharing? That's something that I'm really struggling with right now is like, I worry that, I don't want to say worry, but it's an interesting question that's worth thinking about is, when does it become too personal? How do you find that line? And like I said, so far I've been operating under the same kind of guidelines that I use in a classroom. And I probably will continue doing that because I find that it works for the most part. But like I said, with the internet, there's this opportunity to invite a more personalized approach to being accessible as an entertainer, as a content creator, as a author. And so without, you know, going, and then one more thing about this that I had jotted down is I also think about there's a Simpsons episode. It's an early one where Lisa Simpson discovers that Jebediah Springfield, the founder of the town, was not the hero that everybody makes him out to be. He was actually a horrible pirate / criminal. You know, he was a jerk to George Washington. And Lisa, because she is Lisa Simpson, decides that the world must know. She has to debunk the myth of Jebediah Springfield. But at the zero hour of the story, I'm going to spoil the story for you, but it's a good episode. The story's entertainment value does not hinge on the reveal at the end. In the zero hour, she's standing on a podium and everybody's waiting to hear her say what she discovered about Jebediah Springfield. And she relents. She decides not to reveal this information to the public. And the only other person who's in the know on this story says to her, well, why did you not tell them? And she says, because the myth of Jebediah Springfield has value too. It brings out the best in people. Look at him. So, yeah, I think about how, again, not only just that I don't think an audience cares about my personal problems as such, but I also think that it's partially my responsibility as somebody who's participating in this wonderful world of entertainment to be my best self that I can publicly. I'm not talking about being my best self in some kind of self-help way. I'm talking about like the face that I always put out there is the face that the personality that brings out the best in people, as best as I can do that. Perhaps this could be a bit of an American thing. I'm not sure, but you know, I hear European people talk about how, you know, we are all us Americans are extremely insincere that way. Is it insincerity? Well, maybe. But it also is insincerity to an extent towards the end of making the world as pleasant a place to be as possible, and you know, perhaps that isn't real. But then I think about what Lisa Simpson said about the myth has value too. But that said, now that I've highlighted a few of the different sides of the issue as I've been dissecting it in my mind, I wrote down some pros and cons about sincerity, or not sincerity. I think I'm always sincere, or at least I try to be, but as far as candor, pros and cons of being candid. Let's look at the pros. If I were to reveal more about myself online through my blogs, through my comics, doing a slice of life comic for crying out loud, doing an actual autobiocomic. Mark, who is much more aware of a lot of the personal aspects of my life, has joked that some of the things that have happened to me and some of the dealings I've had with people would make for a good comic. But then I always say, like, nobody would care. And what's more is I don't want to go and air my dirty laundry out like that for everybody to see. That's not what I'm after with the stories that I write. But let's suppose I did. What would be the pros to that? Well, one, as far as I can tell, there's the potential to create deeper connections between me and the audience. Now, I'm not a persona. I'm a real person with real complexities and self-contradictions and there's like a three things I've done in my life where I was actually intentionally cruel to somebody. Now, I'm not talking about, I didn't like, you know, torture somebody or, you know, brutalize somebody, but I did things that were mentally cruel to people when I was younger, when I was like, kids do, right? I can share one of the more innocent ones that I did that I look back and I say, well, I was just a kid. I invited a girl who I had a crush on to my 7th birthday party. And I was head over heels for this girl, but I invited her to my party. And then when she got there, I didn't know how to behave. So I was mean to her. And I said, what are you doing here? You know, and I made fun of her the entire time because that's what kids do. But you know what? That kind of stuff still eats at me, as most regrets do for all of us. We all have something like that. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. If I revealed more of that stuff, then there's the potential to create a deeper connection between me and an audience. They would see me as a real person instead of a cardboard cutout. It would invite discussion and interaction as I talk about these things that are, you know, maybe not as universal, maybe more idiosyncratic, but they probably at some point or another would speak to more universal things, or at least would be have the potential to be shocking things, maybe. I don't know. But playing your cards a little bit more openly probably would invite people to talk with you more in a one-on-one capacity. And then finally, I wrote, it makes you more real to your audience. Yeah, I imagine that's true. But again, I come back to this kind of sense of, well, what's more important, the reality or the myth? I tend to think the myth, but perhaps, you know, and I know this is going to differ from cartoonist to cartoonist. Some people have absolutely no problem sharing everything about their lives. And perhaps, comparatively speaking, they're going to come off as being a little bit more of a real three-dimensional human being than I do in public. That's a choice that we face. And again, I keep coming back to this idea that the internet has offered us an unprecedented opportunity to be that open about it. And should we? I don't know. Let's look at the cons. Let's find out. Top one I wrote down, as an entertainer, isn't your job to entertain? You know, that's what I started talking about at the top of this one, is I once heard John Linnell say, he's one half of the They Might Be Giants band. They did a documentary a while back. I don't remember the name of it, but just search for TMBG documentary if you're really interested in watching it. It had like a whole bunch of This American Life people talking about how genius the band is. I like the band, but I don't know if they're geniuses. But anyway, one of the things John Linnell said that I thought was really rang true for me is he said that he's not interested in watching people cry publicly. He'd much rather see them craft their problems into a more universal message, and that's what art is. I'm paraphrasing him here, mind you, because I saw this documentary like 2 years ago. But that was what I walked away with, was that, yeah, you know, it's like Jim Henson, one of my heroes, he never had Kermit go on there and say, you know, Jim really hated his mother. I mean, he probably didn't, but I'm just saying, like a personal problem like that, you know, it's less interesting to me to cry publicly. So as an entertainer, I think that there's a line drawn there where our first and foremost job is to be entertaining. I'm not talking about being funny or always being on, but always having an eye on, is this something that people would find entertaining or useful? Not, am I just screaming in public? How do you know? This is the next point. How do you know when you've offered up too much information? How do you know when you've overshared? I mean, and that's going to change from audience to audience and from person to person as to what's too much information. So, but I think that that's a gray area that I think, because we're in this new uncharted territory of the internet, it's up to all of us to find what are the boundaries of that. I don't know when you've just deluged people with your personal details, and when you've effectively created the signal, you know, like distorted the signal to noise ratio. When do you know when you're doing signal, and when do you know when you're doing noise? And then finally, this is the most, I think, the most profound question that I think we have to answer in the next decade or two, is just because we can share everything, should we? You know, before we had editors, we had systems in place to say, okay, this information isn't important. We've talked about this in many art and stories, about this idea of the story and being mindful of what the story is about. And having an eye open for, well, this is interesting information. Like when I told the story about like a scene that I cut from the front where Max and Thirsty go to Gibson's parents' house, and we find out a lot of information about what Gibson's home life is like. But what was important was that they just went to the house and found out Gibson was not there and that his parents weren't that worried about him. So that scene got cut because it wasn't crucial to the story. That was tertiary information. And I think that that applies to how, like, personally, I think this is how it applies to everything that we do as an entertainer, as a person who's sharing fiction and sharing art and sharing information. Is it necessarily a good idea to just let everything get shared? You know, these reality shows, the quote-unquote reality shows, I know they're not real, especially like those MTV shows like The Hills, where they just wander around, follow these girls just shopping and complaining about petty things. And yes, I saw the final episode. I know about the big reveal. For those of you who actually want to watch that show, I won't reveal what the big reveal is, but there's a bit of a dun-dun-dun moment at the end of the final episode, which made me go, yeah, I knew. Yeah, it's not really that big of a reveal, but they played it like it was like a big reveal anyway. But yeah, you know, there seems to be this fascination with this kind of like voyeuristic thing. And I know voyeurism has a negative connotation to it. Maybe there's another word I could have used. But there's this sense that, yeah, we should just let it all hang out. Let all this information just go out there and let people decide for themselves what they want. But man, you know, just last episode, I was talking about this idea of creating too much content. Maybe, I don't know how to find that line of whether or not it's a good idea to share everything. And I guess, like I said, it's up to each and every one of us to sort of find what works and what doesn't on that. I'm going to err on the side of caution in terms of that. But, so yeah, I guess for now, my summary statement on this whole issue is, after thinking a lot about candor and thinking a lot about this microcast, which has the sort of implication of being a journal microcast, especially if I start going daily with it, I'm probably going to wind up it's going to become more of a journal documenting my day. But I'm always going to have that one eye on, is this useful to people? Is this helpful to people? Is this interesting or entertaining to people? And if it's just something where I'm just kind of exercising a demon and I'm not couching it in some kind of summary statement, then I don't feel like it's an editorial. I don't feel like it's an essay. I feel like it's just a rant. And rants aren't interesting to me, even if they are interesting to somebody else, you know? I guess this is where I share my one last personal, candid kind of thought on this, is that I always get more out of something that I feel is sustainable, universal, and long-term. This is one of the reasons that I get a little uncomfortable or less interested or bored with catchphrases, slogans, cool words of the day, because it's a taste thing. It's a fashion thing. It comes and goes. And I'm much more interested in things that are going to carry from generation to generation that feels a little bit more valuable to me and it makes it more worth thinking about. And that's sort of like the ethic that I think is trickling down to what I share about myself as an author, as a teacher, and as a generally speaking entertainer. But I do think that this is a question that's worth debating in public, as it were, on the Art and Story Forum. So if you guys have any thoughts that you want to share about this, start sharing some more of these pros and cons that I didn't even address in this one. I'd love to hear it because it's something I'm really fascinated by right now. And I think in the new media world that we live in, we should be fully investigating all the opportunities facing us and not be afraid of them as such. But we definitely should carefully dwell on them and investigate them and unbox them before we decide what we want to leap into. Or, you know, here's why I keep going. Like I'm doing the Mark Rudolph, it depends, or dive into them, you know, and find out what works. But, just because everything on the internet is so permanent, I'm always going to, like I said, I'm going to err on the side of caution. So who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, jdrozd.com. Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for your support of this project. We couldn't do it without you. Hey, Kevin Cross did a new video recently. Just today, as a matter of fact, he did a little video on creating a distressed effect in art, and you should definitely check that out. And don't forget to check out the other microcasts if you haven't lately. I'm sure you have. And thank you, everybody, who's been creating all the great discussion on the forums. It's always a pleasure to go in there and find out what you guys are thinking about. A really interesting post recently by Peter Palmiotti about forming some kind of rock star tour of cartoonists, which I think is an absolutely fascinating idea, but easily one of the most sophisticated undertakings I think I would ever be involved in if I took part in it. So we can start putting our brains together on that over the next 2 years and see if we can't put together something that would be a really cool tour across the United States of cartoonists, where we stream the whole thing, video stream it, and then land at the San Diego Comic-Con to conclude the tour. Oh, God, it sounds really, really cool. Sounds like a really neat extension of all the stuff that we've been doing in terms of sharing information and making public this life of a cartoonist. So, okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
Well, that Daymar was really quite a fellow, wasn't he? Orko had no idea just what he was getting into with his mixed-up magic spell, but he soon found out that he'd let something loose he couldn't handle. Now, we know that in real life there aren't any magic spells or demons, but there are problems. And just like Orko, sometimes you'll find you've got one that's too big for you to handle. At times like that, remember, there are a lot of people out there who really care about you. So talk to them. Telling them what's wrong is the first step toward making things right.